Chris the Undertaker in studio. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
This guy called in the show once. I'm like, yeah, I think you probably have a good story or two.
I got a couple.
You were in healthcare?
I was in healthcare. I'm a licensed paramedic and a licensed undertaker, so.
That's weird.
No matter what happens to you, whether you live or not, I can help you.
Exactly. Just don't tell the people as you're working on them. By the way, in case you die, I can take care of you.
You're in good hands.
Yeah.
I might be the only duly licensed undertaker and paramedic in the state. Maybe the governor could look into it for us.
There you go. See?
That's interesting.
Wow. See that? Job security. Either way, coming and going.
Exactly.
No, but that's like he could take care of the whole job. Soup to nuts.
Exactly.
Try to fix you, and if not, we'll bag you.
That's it.
How long were you an EMT?
I was a paramedic since 1983. I still hold my license.
Wow.
Nice.
Because I worked too hard to get it, so.
So you saw some stuff.
I saw a lot of stuff. Oh, yeah.
What stands out?
People missing heads, carrying a guy's leg back up to the ambulance from the side of the highway.
Missing a head? How do you miss a head? Like, so that's...
The car got skewered by a guardrail.
Oh.
And the went right through the front windshield, out the back windshield. 30 feet of guardrail passed through the car.
And taking the head with
right
it.
Right up in the air, took the head right off.
Right. Where'd you find the head at the end?
Oh, it was just obliterated. Just
yeah,
oh,
okay. It's just, yeah.
Right.
Horrible. Not a decapitation.
I'll say they look surprised.
Jeez.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Right.
Is a leg heavy to carry by itself?
I was surprised. The leg was really heavy. It weighs like 40 pounds. I didn't expect it.
Wow.
Wait, so you had to carry someone else's leg?
Yeah, this was another accident. Yeah.
All right. So this is different. Yeah. Like, did that person survive?
The dead person survived? No.
Not the guy who lost the head. I kind of figured that one's out.
The leg person did survive.
That's what I'm asking.
He was a high school track athlete.
Oh, that's a shame, man.
Come on.
That's a shame.
When I picked up his leg, I was surprised because I didn't expect it to be that heavy.
Well, it's all muscle.
Yeah.
All muscle. Yeah.
Wow.
Did he get the leg reattached?
No, we couldn't reattach it.
What happened?
Oh, way too long.
It was a car accident. He was ejected from the car.
Oh.
It was a steel wire guardrail that... severed his leg.
So you probably, being a paramedic at that time, saw a lot of reason to have the seatbelt law, right? So we're still in a time where people are like, I'm not using seatbelts.
Yeah.
There was a lot of reason for it, and there's a lot of kickback people who want to have their rights and liberties restrained.
Right.
Which is understandable.
Yeah. No, people didn't want the government to say, I got to wear my seatbelt.
Right. You
would show up, you'd be able to make a good argument for it. Right?
I can make a good argument.
People who would have got banged up were dead.
Right. Well, they're an imposition on the healthcare system because, you know, they don't have insurance or whatever reason. You know, they're costing me the taxpayer money, too.
Yeah. Have you ever showed up at an accident scene and not be able to find the people in the car?
No, I can't say that that's been a case at all.
All right.
Right.
You know, you had to look far away sometimes. People have been ejected, but...
Yeah. And then what about showing up to houses? What are some of the strange things you've seen walking into a house?
There's so many stories. Pam had me going through them in my head just to review a few of them. I went to pick up a body one time. The guy had committed suicide. He was covered head to toe with nicotine patches.
That's weird.
Wow. Not a square inch of his body uncovered.
So that probably committed nicotine suicide?
I don't think that did the trick because death by nicotine is pretty rare.
Yeah.
But there must have been a lot of other contributing factors.
That's a long, slow, painful death.
Right.
It was just very odd. I mean, I've never seen
such
a thing.
Those patches are expensive, too, aren't they?
Yeah.
Unless you get them for free somewhere.
Yeah.
So he had money, obviously.
Yeah, they're expensive.
So he was dead.
He was dead.
He was covered in nicotine patches.
Covered.
Did you ever find out what the cause of death was?
No, I never had to follow up for that. And it was just
it's just your job.
Moving about.
Mm-hmm. Nicotine fit.
I don't think it was withdrawal, no.
I mean, how, you know.
That's different.
That is different.
Yeah, that's thinking outside the box. Like, you know what? I want to do something different. I know, nicotine patches.
Well, how much are you smoking where your body needs all those patches?
Right.
So I know people who tried to quit and they say wear one patch and they wear two or three.
Yeah.
This person clearly had a strong addiction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way beyond that.
Yeah. All right. Well, there was a story that caught my eye that it was about embalming. And how you found out the hard way that you got to take your time. Right now we're talking to Christopher Casey. He's an undertaker. Healthcare to death care. So you're a paramedic and an undertaker.
Correct.
Right. Either way, he's got you.
Got it covered.
Got you covered.
All right. So what happened when you were just learning how to embalm?
I never realized that it had to be so slowly and methodical as they said in school. But it's true.
In school, they taught you to do it slowly.
Yeah, slowly, methodical. You can't rush it.
Right. They never showed you, like, all right, this is what happens when you do it fast.
Why?
No, but I found out what happens when you try to push it too fast.
What happens?
Pretty much push it. Is it in a needle?
Yeah, it's in a needle. You generally go right into the carotid artery and drain from the jugular vein.
Right. Like Dracula.
Like Dracula, yeah.
Huh.
And
it's this point. All right. So it's a little morbid, so you may want to like turn the radio down. But right. I'm interested in this stuff.
We're curious.
Well, life has 100% mortality rate, so
yeah,
none of us are getting out of here alive.
Exactly.
It's true.
So you guys get a body, you roll it in. What's the first thing you do?
You give them a nice shave, clean them up. Little
That's
haircut,
first.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Shave
really?
Everywhere?
Yeah. No, just, if it's a guy, it's a face.
Right.
Shave his face.
Or pass menopause.
Now, this is before you even speak to the family, and maybe they want that on there.
No. This is after meeting with the family.
Because they might be like, we like the little unshaven look, because he was known for that.
He liked Miami Vice.
This is after extensive interview and meeting with the family members, finding out what their wishes are.
Okay. Gotcha. So, but the body rolls in, and so the first thing you do is prep, so you don't, I always pictured you would drain like the blood out or something.
Right, or you strip them down
first. Well, you do eventually. Well, yeah, you got to strip them down. You put in little eye caps underneath their eyes, so hold their eyes closed and secure the jaw.
Eye caps to keep the eyes closed.
Yeah, because your eyelids generally
really
open and your mouth drops.
Oh,
and your
really?
Jaw muscles relax.
So the natural state of a dead person is a surprise.
It's called like shock.
Like, holy crap, I'm dead.
Like, what?
No.
Really?
What? Yeah.
That's interesting, and that would be scary.
Yes.
Have you ever been scared or like something happening? We're like, that's weird.
Not really, but my assistant once had a lady grab her hands, or so she claimed.
Really?
Really?
Well, when rigor mortis sets in, you have to try to massage the muscles and loosen the rigor that occurs to get the fluid to flow into all the tissues. And
so you
the normal
actually
position
have
of the
to
hand,
massage the dead body.
Yeah, you have to break the rigor mortis and
the whole
stretch
body?
The muscles, do a massage kind of thing.
Right.
Everywhere?
Well, the extremities. You have to move all around. Right. And the normal position of function, the hand is slightly cupped.
And like holding a beer?
Holding a beer. Right. Like a pint glass. And when she went to stretch out her fingers and bend her back, because your fingernails get very discolored after you die. They're pretty dark blue. So in order to get distribution of the embalming fluid into the distal part of the extremities, you have to massage them. It's a little cream. And, when she tried to extend her fingers back, the lady reflexively just cupped into the position of rest.
Whoops.
Right.
And kind of freaked her out.
I'm stuck now.
That sounds like a scream to me.
Yeah, she goes to lunch, lays dragging behind her. Who's your friend?
So you never had anything happen?
My embalming assistant and fiance, Lorelei. She's here.
Oh, hey. So that happened to you? Did you crap yourself?
When the hand grabbed her, she went to pull back, and it brought the body up with it. So it's sat up, and she goes,
and with that shocked look on his face.
Oh, my God. That's AJ running right through the door.
She's holding your hand. She's showing you love.
Yeah. I don't care if it's a steel door. I'm going right through
it. Did she scream out loud? Ask her if she screamed out. Did you scream out loud?
Yes.
Yes.
What
is she saying to you right now?
Oh, yeah. She screamed out loud.
Yeah. Holy crap.
Damn.
Yeah. So you never been scared? You never thought there was a ghost or anything?
No, I've never
stuff?
Had a dead body hurt me in any way. I've had a lot of live people as a paramedic try to hurt me.
Oh, right, really?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Holy crap.
See, okay, now do you do cremations also? Have you been part of that at all?
I don't personally do them. I arrange them.
Because back in the day, my uncle was an undertaker, and my dad used to be an assistant for him in summers just to make some extra money. And apparently, when they put you in the crematorium thing, the oven there.
Yeah. It's called a retort.
Yeah, okay, whatever that thing is. You apparently, you will sit up. Like, the body will, sit up.
No.
And because of,
in the oven?
The heat makes it, contract or something like that, and the person, would sit up. Like, out of nowhere.
But the oven's not that big.
Every time?
It's like a pizza oven. You're not going to sit up in a pizza oven.
I guess it was a larger oven back in the day. This is like the 1940s. But, they had this little view mask, and you can, look to see if it's going, what's going on there. And then you saw the person just, sit right up on fire.
Oh, we got to find out about this.
Jeez. That sounds crazy. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
I never heard of anybody sitting up in the oven.
I know they break wind sometimes.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
They build up of gases.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Right.
They'll burp or the other side comes out.
All right. So you eventually, you get this body, you have to drain the blood. Do you do that first? Or do you take organs out of the body or what comes out?
No, you don't take organs out. The ancient Egyptians used to do that in their mummification process.
Okay. But, so you're just draining the blood and then you're pushing the embalming
fluid
in? Drain the blood,
put in some formalin solution, which is a preservative.
And you're pushing the embalming fluid in with a needle?
Yeah, there's a needle that goes into the... Yeah, carotid artery.
And then a pump goes in, right? Does the body rise? In. Like how do you know when you got enough in there?
Oh, how do you know you're doing it too fast?
It pops.
You know you're doing
turkey.
It too fast when the eyeball pops.
Really?
Yeah. Mm.
Has that happened?
It happened, yeah. I was in a hurry.
You're in a hurry.
I was in a hurry.
You're right. A young guy. You don't know any better.
Turned the pressure up a little too high.
Yeah. Yep.
Next thing I know, this guy's
keep an eye for you. Yep.
That's an at-work mistake. You're like, all right, now what am I going to do?
Yeah, what do you do?
That was the big thing.
You're out.
I had to call my sensei master.
Yeah.
And say, sensei, you know, I got a little problem here.
Yeah, we got an eye out.
What's that in your hair? Why are you looking at me, guys? In the back of your head? At the moment, yes.
So it was like back at paramedic school, direct pressure. Put direct pressure on and try to control the bleeding. Put direct pressure on and try to push the eyeball back into the socket.
And were you able to do it and still have an open casket?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Had an eye patch, but
all right, goodness, bad
news. It looked like a pirate.
We're going to have an open casket, and we're going to have to put sunglasses on.
Right. We're going with a pirate theme today.
Give you a pair of Ray-Bans.
Right. That's cool.
So you were able to have the open casket, and everything looked fine?
Yeah. Nobody even knew except me and the boss.
Oh, okay.
Right. You didn't say anything.
Kept it under wraps. No, nobody will ever find out.
During the eulogy, it's like...
Oh, we're on the air?
Well, his part. This part was hilarious. No.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That's
cold.
Yeah, that was probably the last time you pushed it fast, right?
Right, and last time I tried to rush it.
When it popped out, did it get major air?
No, it didn't come out totally. It didn't disconnect from
the stuff that holds it back.
Like
it
a geyser?
Right into the garbage dumpster.
Right.
Whoa, 6 points.
Right.
Clean.
Wow.
Oh, God.
But there have been so many different wild experiences, I can't even begin to relate them all.
Yeah, well, we'll have you back. I mean, you got a lot of interesting stories. What a life. Healthcare and deathcare.
Yep, either or.
All right, thank you, Chris. Appreciate it, brother.
All right, thanks for having me.